comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around terra firma, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It is the show where you matter. And one of the ways we prove that you matter is not only do I take suggestions from you about what topics we ought to cover, but I try to do my very, very best with those topics. Now, one of the topics that actually we haven't had any request for in several years, but we did back when this was fresh. And I did a show on this, and then I did a follow-up show, and maybe two follow-up shows. But there have been some new developments. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that there is extraterrestrial life? Now, I think a lot of people will, even folks who are just sort of checking the show out tonight and you're not really into this sort of thing, I think you would probably still, most folks would probably say, well, certainly, mathematically, the probability that we're alone in the universe seems to be a little bit foolish, a little bit improbable. It seems that there's a probability that there is other life out there. Well, that's about as broad-minded as you could be unless there was actual evidence. Now, what if there was actual evidence of extraterrestrial life? What if scientists have had that extraterrestrial life, samples of that extraterrestrial life, for almost 10 years? It is possible. It is probable. And if it is true, we are not alone. We're going to be talking about tonight life on this planet that does not appear to be from this planet. Life that scientists have had in their laboratories for almost 10 years. Life that scientists said wasn't life, and yet now they know it is. Life that does not operate like life here. It's amazing stuff. And like I said, they've had it for almost 10 years. Would you be a little bit upset if you found out they had it and didn't tell us? Well, prepare to be upset. But it just makes you wonder, doesn't it? What else do they have that they're not telling us? The truth has a way of finding the light of day. No matter how well you try to keep it down, no matter how well you try to box it up and lock it up and suppress it, it has a way of getting out there. We'll take a look at some of it on the other side of this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are a world-class, world-famous sci-fi movie producer. You're always looking for a new script. I mean, you know, you are beyond Spielberg, but you're always looking for a new script. You need something that's better all the time. Now, suppose a couple of guys come in and they say, look, we don't have it in the script yet, but we got an idea for a movie. See, here's what the deal is. This strange life form, this form of life, falls to Earth. And it doesn't look like life. And so scientists all over the world say it's not life. And that's because it doesn't have any DNA. And then we find out, just from playing around with it and doing some odd experiments here and there, that this stuff is alive. No DNA. So it's not like any life on Earth. But it does replicate itself. And then you're sitting there thinking about it, and you think, well, you know, okay, it's got some possibilities, right? There's more to the story, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But what if you found out these two guys are not script writers at all? They're physicists. One of them is the chairman of the physics department of physics at a university. And this isn't an idea for a movie, it's something that actually happened. Back in 2001, as a matter of fact, in July the 25th, 2001, just barely more than a year after we started this show, after I started this show, over an area of southern India called Kerala, there was a bright flash of light and an explosion louder than thunder, and then it began to rain. And it rained red rain. And it rained red rain from July of 2001 until September. July, August, September. 3 months of rain, and it was red. A couple of scientists got some samples of this red water. The initial reports that went out around, you know, government doing this. Oh, we got to say something, keep people calm. And so they told them lies. And they said, you know, it's just dust in the water. It's just maybe some lichen or spores in the water. And none of that was true. None of that was true. As I said, a couple of these scientists got some samples of this, and they put it in some jars, and they have freely allowed labs around the world to test this stuff. They've allowed the labs access to it. Run tests on it. See if you can figure out what it is. No one has found any DNA in this, but what they have found is it's not lichen, and it's not spores. It's little cells of something, but it has no DNA. Now, every form of life that we know anything about here on this planet has DNA. 100% of the life on this planet, as far as we know, has DNA. This has no DNA. And so for 9 years, tests have been run, and people have been saying all kinds of stuff about the Red Rain in Kerala, and they've been making up all kinds of hoodoo voodoo stories. But Dr. It's Dr. Lewis and Kumar that wrote a paper about all of this. And the conventional explanation at the beginning, you know, it's just dust, it's lichen in the water, that sort of stuff. And they did that, and the press just kind of went, oh, yeah, okay, because they're brilliant, you know, and they look into these things. And so that's what they published and moved on. And the follow-up stories that I've done on this, we've looked at it in a little bit more depth, and we'll do so again tonight. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is very likely, in my opinion, extraterrestrial life. The reason I say that it's very likely extraterrestrial life is because I very strongly think and take the position that where life arises, it does so using whatever the materials are around it. So if you have life that arises on a planet where one of the most corrosive elements ever, oxygen, is in great supply, and life arises there, it will arise using oxygen, and those animals that and plants that use the oxygen will do so as if it's a wonderful substance. However, if it were methane present in great supply instead of oxygen, those plants and animals would have used methane as though it's just wonderful stuff, like we use oxygen. The same thing would be true of an organism's responses to temperature and an organism's responses to pressure. It will be, if it is alive, if it's life, it will have developed within the parameters of the temperatures and the pressures of the planet that it's on. And that's not the case with this. This is really a little bit more like Venus. Now, am I saying this came from Venus? No, I'm not. I'm saying that the conditions in which this stuff obviously lives and thrives is the conditions are much similar to the conditions on Venus. Because what they have discovered is even though it has no DNA, And so a lot of scientists around the world said, well, we don't know what it is. It looks like cells, but it doesn't have any DNA. So it can't be living cells. Living cells must have DNA, and this stuff doesn't have any. So we don't know what it is, but it's not biological. Well, here's what they have found. What they have discovered is that these little things, we won't call them organisms yet. We will before the show is over. But right at this point, I'll not call them organisms. They have discovered that these things consume a great many things. They will consume almost anything, organic or inorganic. And they have also discovered that they give off autofluorescence. In other words, they glow. But they glow in all different kinds of colors. Multiple colors, which is something no known biological life on Earth is known to do. Yes, we have autofluorescence, but it's not in multiple colors. We have animals that give off light, but not in multiple colors. This stuff gives off light in multiple colors. We don't know of anything else on this planet that does that. Well, in order for it to actually be considered an organism, it's got to be able to move around, right? And it has to be able to replicate itself. Well, what they discovered is it does. If you increase the temperature, if you increase it, the temperature of the solution it's in, to 572 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 300 degrees Celsius. So 572 degrees Fahrenheit, that's the threshold at which these things go active. As you continue to raise the temperature, they get even more active. And they do replicate themselves in a weird way. They give birth. A cell normally divides. A one-celled animal normally will divide and become two one-celled animals. But these little things apparently get pregnant. Because the scientists can see that inside of them will begin to grow another one inside of one of these tiny little organisms, which they kind of, to me, they look like red blood cells, but that's not what they are. But another one will begin to grow inside, and it's white. And then as it reaches a certain point, it begins to turn red, and then it is passed through the cell membrane to the outside, and now it's its own separate organism. So they give birth. Is that weird? Well, giving birth is not weird. Giving one-celled organisms giving birth, that's weird. That's a little bit odd. But there you go. They do it. Now, at what temperature? 572 degrees. That's when they begin to replicate. And they become more active, and they give birth, you see, at 572 degrees. Plus, they do even better if you put them under intense pressures. That's why I said this sounds a whole lot like Venus. This is the kind of life that sounds like it could thrive on Venus, because Venus is apparently very hot and a lot of pressure at the surface. And this is the kind of organism that apparently would do well there. So how can you destroy these things? Well, if they thrive at 572 degrees, wouldn't they? You could kill them, couldn't you? If you freeze them, get them really cold, and then they die, right? Because heat won't do it. You know, we usually think in terms of, if you want to disinfect a pan or a cup or something like that, and you really, really want to do it, we say, boil water for 5 minutes and then pour the boiling water in and on the thing you want to disinfect. Not with these guys. These guys love that hot stuff. They just giggle at the hot stuff. Therefore, if you wanted to get rid of them, the thing to do is freeze them, right? Go the other direction. If they love the heat, give them cold. They survive down to minus 328 degrees Fahrenheit. Minus 328. Immersed in liquid nitrogen. No damage. What that means for you and for me, what that means is there's no way to get rid of them. Not for you and me. Now, scientists may have a way where they can take them down to 1,000 degrees below zero. I doubt it. But they might. And that might do the trick. You and I don't have a means of getting rid of these things. If these things are something that if you got it into your blood system, it could make you sick, if it's something like that. Antibiotics won't work. They have no DNA. You could not clean your house and disinfect it and get all of these away from your house. Why? Well, because you can't burn your house down and make them go away. They'd love it. You can't freeze your house and make them go away. They survive it. What are you going to do? Now, you might say, well, yeah, a fat chance we're going to have any at our house. Ask the people in Kerala. All over their houses, all over their clothes, as they had to be outside during the rain. Rained for 3 months. Rained this stuff for 3 months. And it's unlike anything we know about on this planet. Now, for 9 years, the scientists have been saying, well, yeah, okay, whatever it is, it's weird, but whatever it is, it's not biological. It's not organic. And the reason they said that is because it didn't replicate. It didn't move around. But whenever they began to do some experiments with heat, they discovered that it comes to life. And that has now been established, that when they apply heat, this, whatever these things are, come to life, and they replicate, they give birth. There are more of them after that. You know, one of the things that I can just see in that film, you know, the one we were talking about right at the beginning, where you are the world-famous sci-fi director. Well, I guess I'll have to get into that when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. All right, we're talking about extraterrestrial life, and we're talking about these cells of something. They're real, and scientists have had them in their possession since 2001 in abundance. Lots of tests have been run, and they've discovered, after 9 years of saying they can't be organic, they cannot be biological, because they just don't fit any of the pattern. This is what I'm telling you, folks. This is what I tell you all the time. The experts are experts. We call them that for a reason, because they do know a lot about their subject. The problem is they believe their own press. And something that rises up and doesn't fit the box which they, by the way, built, if it doesn't fit the box, then they say it can't be. And what I'm telling you is, the universe does what it damn well pleases. It did not go to their universities. It does not care what their degrees and dissertations say. It does what it does. They've been saying this can't be biological, and it is. It's just not our kind of biological. You can't kill these by heating them up. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you took them to the sun, Maybe that would kill him. I don't know. You can't get rid of them by freezing them. They survive that. I mean, really free. Liquid nitrogen freezing. They survive that. Can't get rid of them. And they are alive. And they give birth. And they are multiplying when you increase the heat to 572 degrees Fahrenheit. All right, back to the movie. So I can see now the two scientists are standing in front of you, world famous sci-fi producer that you are, and they say, hey, what if these things started raining all over the world? And you start thinking about it and you say, yeah, now we have a problem. How do we get rid of it? And the first thing that comes to your mind is the military comes to the president, and some general says to the president, Mr. President, if we don't use the nukes now, we're not going to have a chance. It's going to take over the earth. We have to use the nukes. And we go through all that whole thing about using the nukes, you know. They did that in the movie Independence Day, remember? That was a big debate about using the nukes. Well, let's say they use the nukes in your movie. These little guys would just go, yippee, when the nukes go off. And there goes the military option. Boy, that was brilliant. Because these things love the heat. Well, what about the pressure? They love the pressure. They give birth in the heat and the pressure. They love it. They multiply. So we have to think, what else could we do? So you as a movie producer, you think, you know what? Let's say we had a really strange accident on an oil rig. Say, I don't know, down in the Gulf of Mexico. And let's say that there's... Oh, it could never happen. It could never happen. But let's say that there's hundreds of millions of gallons of crude oil all over the floor of the Gulf now. And let's say that we, instead of thinking these things are our enemies, let's think they're our friends. Let's put them down at the bottom of the ocean where there's a whole lot of pressure down there and let them see if they'll eat that oil. You know, a mystery microorganism eating the oil. Now, there's a plot. Makes one wonder. Doesn't it? Scientists have had their hands on these samples for 9 years. Only recently have they discovered that they really are alive. They have no DNA, and yet they're alive. They give birth. They replicate. And they don't just replicate. They actually give birth. The new organism forms inside of the parent organism and then is expelled when it's mature. And they've only recently discovered this. Now, there are people in the scientific community, they can no longer really say, well, it's not biological. Yes, it is. The only thing about it that doesn't fit the term biological, and by the way, these same experts are the ones that defined the term biological, but the only thing that doesn't fit their definition is DNA. It doesn't have any. So we're looking at a form of life that's operating on a completely different principle than everything else we know about on this planet. It fell to the earth in 3 months of rain. Red rain in Kerala, India in 2001. It fell to Earth after a big explosion in the sky. Is it terrestrial? Well, there's always a chance it could be. You know, I talk to people all the time who don't, they have no idea what the word terrestrial means. Terra, terrestrial, terra, terra. It's the Latin name for this planet, terra. Terrestrial, it's the same as saying earthly. Where does earth come from? It's a perversion of erdi. Which is not Latin. Erde is this planet in several Semitic languages. Is this stuff terrestrial? Well, we don't know, but chances are it's not. Because everything we know about on this planet, absolutely everything we know about that's alive on this planet, has DNA. Now we know about extremophiles. We do. We know about things that live in environments that are very different and very harsh. Right here on this planet. We know about things, little organisms called anaerobes, and they there's a particular kind of those little guys. They die if you expose them to oxygen. So they live in an environment that's devoid of oxygen, but they have DNA. Everything on this planet that we know anything about has DNA, every living thing. These don't. These little guys have no DNA. They love the heat, they love the pressure, and they have no DNA. So they are operating on principles of life entirely, entirely different from anything we know about on this planet. The scientists are stumped because they don't fit the mold. And yet, there they are. They can't be denied. There they are. Where did they come from? Well, I think, you know, Occam's razor says, the principle of that we call Occam's razor, says that the simplest, most direct explanation for anything is most likely the right one. The simplest, most direct, when you take all the facts into consideration, explosion in the sky, and then something falling in the rain that causes everything to be red, and then when samples of that are taken, it has no DNA, and yet it's alive. And it doesn't match anything else on this planet. Using the principle of Occam's razor, I would have to say, I think it is extraterrestrial. Now, consider this. One of the explanations that was put forward is that a meteor, perhaps, exploded in the upper atmosphere, and that's what people heard, and that these organisms were inside of that meteor and they spilled out. Well, now do you have any idea how many of these organisms would do you have any idea how big that meteor would have to have enough of these organisms in it to cause the rain to be red? Not just have a few of these organisms splash down on the Earth, but to cause the rain to be red for 3 months. I don't think... Look, it might have been a meteor that exploded. That could be the explosion they heard. But I don't think that's what caused these. I think these things rode in here in mass bigger than any meteor. And the only thing I could say is, well, what if it was not a meteor? What if what we had was a massive, massive hive of these things in a big ball, a big hive of them, with some kind of protective coating, perhaps biologically grown? And perhaps that's what exploded. And we're talking about something miles big and dense, and exploded into the atmosphere, seeding the clouds with these cells. That's the only way I could see there being a connection between the explosion and the red rain. So, again, Occam's razor tells me that it's likely not connected, the explosion and the red rain, probably not connected. But they could be. I mean, there's an outside chance they could be. What we do know for sure is that they exist. What we do know for sure is that they are biological. We do know they don't have DNA. We do know they don't fit the pattern for life anywhere on this planet for any life form we know anything about. And so it seems likely to me they came from out there. But from where? From where? The two physicists that collected the samples and did the initial work on this, Dr. Lewis and Kumar, these two guys have put forth the theory that, or they've put forth the idea that the theory, the scientific theory of panspermia, could be and seems to be a little bit more plausible because of this. You know, panspermia is the idea that there's life all out in the universe and that it rides into planets on meteors and asteroids and stuff like that, and life springs up. And they're saying it's a little bit more likely now to believe that. What do you think? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. These little organisms that we're talking about, and they are organisms, you know what's really pretty funky about all this? If you look at these things under a 3D scanning electron microscope, they sort of look like the granules of stuff you see on the ground on Mars. Now, I've mentioned that they seem to be able to survive the conditions you have on Venus. I said they look like the little granules you see down on the surface of Mars. Am I saying that these are on Venus? No. Am I saying these are on Mars? No, I'm not. I'm saying it's possible. It's just possible. That's all I'm saying. And they obviously came from somewhere, didn't they? I mean, We can't debate about, are they here? There they are, and they're in laboratories, and they've been looked at by scientists, and they're being tested and looked at by scientists now. So there they are. You can't say they're not here. They are here. What are they? They're UMOs. Unidentified microscopic objects. UMOs, UMOs, that's what they are, they're UMOs. They're not UFOs, they're UMOs. I guess before they fell to the earth in that rain, they were UFOs. Now they're UMOs. But the scientists, I mean, it doesn't do any good for the scientists to argue about whether they exist or not. They do exist, and nobody's saying they don't. They are still, some of them, arguing about whether they are alive or not. But if they can replicate, if they can give birth and grow them their population, that's life. Yeah, but they don't have DNA. Hey, some scientists don't have gray cells. But there they are with a PhD. So, you know, look, the most logical conclusion at this point, we can't say that we know for sure, but the most logical conclusion we can draw at this point would point us in the direction of saying these are extraterrestrial, and they are alive, and scientists have had them in their possession for at least 9 years. What else are they not telling us? I want to thank Drs. Lewis and Kumar for having the courage to step out and tell us about this. It really, truly is important information, very important information. And the questions that are raised by their research are important questions. These, for instance, these organisms, if you were to test them, for instance, if you were to scoop them up in a little scoop out of them, say they're in the dirt on Mars, and you scoop them up and put them into a little test like in the Viking lander or like in the polar lander, and you did a test to see if there's any signs of life. Since they don't have DNA, it is possible, isn't it, they don't have other things that would react to your test. And maybe you scoop some of them up, and maybe there is life there, and you didn't detect it because you're looking for life like life here. And that's dumb, because you're not here, you're there. Hello, scientist. Can you hear this? That's a scientist head. If you're not here, but you're there looking for life, don't you think you ought to look for life as it occurs there, not here? It would make sense to me. But, I mean, who am I? I'm just, you know, a guy that thinks logically. If you're looking for your key that you dropped, doesn't it make sense to look for it in the area where you dropped it instead of under the light post over there? Yeah, but that's where the light is. That's why I'm looking under the light post. Okay. If you're looking for life there and you're not here, then you need to look for life that could thrive on the conditions there. Another thing that we need to think about with this stuff is you can't kill it. We can't kill it. You and me, there's no way. Lysol isn't going to get rid of it. You can't boil it and get rid of it. You can't freeze it and get rid of it. If it begins to replicate in great numbers, is it possible that it could take over the planet? And what would that mean if it takes over the planet? Would that be good for us? Would that be bad for us? By take over the planet, I mean proliferate all over the planet. Would that be good for us or bad for us? We don't know. Is this stuff deadly to us? We don't know. We simply don't know. Is it intelligent? We don't think so. I mean, how can any one-celled thing be intelligent? Well, true. But how can any one-celled thing be alive and have no DNA? But there it is. So, is it intelligent? I would think not, but I wouldn't think this stuff would even be alive without DNA. And yet, there it is. Alive and no DNA. So it could be intelligent, and we wouldn't know it. But if it proliferates and a whole bunch of it gets out there, we might know it. You see the point? People are waiting, saying, if the aliens are out there, why don't they show us themselves? What if they just did? What if that's them? At least some of them. What if the deal is they're just waiting for the right time and the right conditions, and then they'll, all these little one cells will congeal up into a blob, and these alien blobs will start rising up, and there they'll be, and they'll say, hi, we came for a visit. Sounds crazy, I know. But it doesn't sound any more crazy than having those cells fall out of the sky, appear to not be alive, but still appear to be cells, have no DNA, and then show themselves able to replicate. That sounds crazy, too. And yet, there they are. So you see, the big problem that you and I have is the same problem the scientists have here, and that is we don't know what this stuff is. The scientists don't know what it is. It's not like anything else on Earth. I think that tells us it's not from here. And the fact that it's not from here should tell us something else. Immediately it should tell you you're not alone in the universe. There is life out there. And the scientists, I think, have the proof of that life, the living proof of that life in their laboratories, in these little jars that they collected samples in from the Red Rain. I think that's the living proof that life exists out there. And it has come here, perhaps for a visit. Now, you may think, well, that's not very exciting. I mean, I was looking for something that looked a little bit more like Mr. Worf, you know, on Star Trek. Well, maybe we'll meet someone like that, too. But discovering one cell alive that's not from here is just as important and earth-shaking as discovering Mr. Worf or running into the Klingon Empire out there. That one cell is just as important. It's life. But this stuff goes beyond life. It goes into life as we never knew it. Now look, if this had DNA, and then, you know, all the scientists would be saying, oh, well, it's just this, it's just that. And it could be life from out there, but they would be saying, oh, it's just this, it's just that. Eh, it's nothing big. And they would have missed it. Now they're doing their best to explain their way out of and around it because it has no DNA. And it's alive. They cannot explain how that's even possible. They can't fathom how it's even possible, but there you are. It's alive. Sounds like a good name for your new movie, doesn't it? It's alive. How about there you are? It's alive. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion this evening of life from out there that I think has come to Earth for a visit or for a stay. It's here and it's been here for 9 years. It is amazing, amazing stuff. No DNA and yet it's alive. It is dormant. It's able to just stay dormant at sort of room temperature, you know. But you heat it up to, what was it, 572 degrees Fahrenheit? And boy, it comes to life. It begins to replicate. It becomes active. It is alive. It is alive. You can't kill it by freezing it, and it loves the heat. So it's here. It's a fact now. It's here. And in pretty good quantities. We're going to open up the telephone lines because I would like to know what you think about this stuff. I'd like to know if you think it is from out there. Don't call and tell me that it's just dust, because that's been proven to not be true, okay? It isn't just dust. It is alive. These are living organisms without DNA. All right, the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That's the main number. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Very interesting observation and thought there. Yeah, I looked into that red rain a little bit. I got a couple of little theories here as far as, you know, what is considered life and what's alive. Okay. You know, is thought a person, like, was thought alive, or is the biological body alive? So therefore, it gives a lot of theory to, like, what we dig up, like in Siberia, they dug up a virus, you know, that's been there for who knows how long, and it was still alive. I think we're digging up, you know, by doing things, we're bringing up things that are dormant, but yet still alive. Where'd they come from?
But that had DNA.
Yes, correct. But, you know, as far as that says, you know, how different this stuff is, it doesn't mean that they, something like that might not be down there. They just might not be seeing it or found it yet or whatever.
Well, it wasn't down there. It was up there. It fell from the sky as rain.
Yeah, correct. And also, well, I'd have to ask you a question on that, because the airstreams run in several different directions, and over a period of time, for that to stay and rain in one place would almost have to be purposely done, because it would travel in the airstream across the planet, or at least at some distance, wouldn't you think?
Well, no, because there are places that have monsoon season, and I've been through monsoon seasons both in Thailand and in East Timor, and the weather comes up on top of you and parks there, and it rains for a couple of months, 3 months. You know, it's not that it rains all day every day. It's that it rains every day, but not all day. And
yeah.
And it rains hard, and you have lots of flash flooding. And that's what happened in Kerala. But it gets on top of you, and it just sets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think, you know, like you say, scientists think they know so much, you know, and, like, I know you, like, you know, believe that we should, still look out in the universe, and I say we should too, but remotely. Because we don't have the technology to do it, at least we don't know we had the technology to do it safely with man. But because we don't even know, 10% of our own oceans. I mean, scientists are coming up from the bottom of the oceans amazed every day. And life down there, or any kind of life that they find, our life, we're actually walking on a thin line, you know, like a tightrope, as thin as somebody's hair, you know, and one push one way or the other, and it's all over. I mean, that's how precise life is.
You're right about that. Yeah, you're right about that. Terry, I got to move along. I want to thank you for the call. Good observations.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Bye.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. This stuff, whatever it is here. It doesn't match any profile for living organisms, for any living organism on this planet, but it's here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Heidi from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi. How are you?
Oh, doing great this evening. Thank you.
Good.
I was just thinking, maybe these little cells have been released by ETs who are possibly releasing them onto the planet to maybe prepare it so that when they land that it's hospitable to them.
Well, it could be. It could be. You know, whatever they are, it's a huge mystery as to what these little guys, these little critters really are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what they are, but they are undeniably here, and they are undeniably alive without DNA.
Yeah, well, that sounds just incredible, and I was wondering that maybe if Mr. James Horak is listening, maybe he might have some ideas as to what they are.
Maybe. I don't know. If he's listening, maybe he'll give us a call. We'll see.
All right, then. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. Every virus that has ever infected your body has DNA. Every bacteria that has ever parasitically clung to your body has DNA. You have DNA. Your dog has DNA. Everything on the planet has DNA, except these little critters. They don't have DNA, and they're alive. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Hasn't DNA been called the building blocks of life?
That is what scientists have called DNA, yes.
Well, it seems there must have been another set.
I think you're right. Another set, and it's not DNA. But, you know, this is just weird stuff, Kevin. No DNA, and as far as we knew, you had to have DNA in order to live, but it doesn't. Doesn't have it, and it's alive. Where do you think it came from? Is it earthly, or is it from out there?
I'd say out there.
Yeah. Any ideas where out there?
I have a theory of what it could be. And that would be like original planet materials.
Original planet materials. Well, that's something I hadn't thought of. And what would make you think it would be original planet materials?
The way you described it, like how it thrives and like how it would thrive in like the like in Venus, mm-hmm. and how it looks like the drains of Mars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you watching the show tonight, or are you just listening?
I'm watching.
So you saw the picture that I put up on the TV channel showing it when I said it looks like the little grains that you see down on the surface of Mars.
Yeah.
Another person told me that it looks like Rice Krispies. I didn't see Rice Krispies. I saw little granules on the ground is what it looked like to me. But, it's mysterious stuff. And there's a lot of it. Imagine 3 months of rain, heavy monsoon rains, and it was this stuff for 3 months.
I can't even imagine normal rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, Kevin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. What do you think about this Red Rain of Kerala, India? It isn't dust. It isn't lichen. It isn't spores. What it is, we don't know. Well, we do and we don't. We have pictures of it. We have portraits of the culprits. We don't know who they are. We don't even know if they're from here. They may be extraterrestrial. They are alive and they have no DNA. They are able to replicate themselves if we raise the temperature. In fact, they love that if you raise the temperature. And they don't replicate themselves by doing cell division. They give birth. Think about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hello, Rex. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I was wondering, that town in India, they got the red rain. Were there any reported unusual effects that the rain had on the people or the plants, livestock, or anything afterwards?
You know, I was thinking about that today just before we went on the show, and I wish I had thought about it earlier. Because in my original report on this back in 2001, I would have reported on that. That is a question that I would have reported on, but I didn't have time to go find any of the notes. So I had time, honestly, Rex, I had time, but I didn't think to go do it in time is the problem. I don't recall that there was any significant change in the health of the community.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That would make me feel a little safer. You know, if it had obliterated the town or, you know, messed up, you know, 20% of the people health-wise or something, I would be extremely concerned. But it's interesting that we get a very foreign type of life that apparently doesn't have any weird effects on us that we know of. You show up out of the blue. I don't quite know what to make out of that.
Yeah. Is this the first time that you've heard of this?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a lot of people...
The only other weird thing I heard of before is prions.
I'm sorry?
Oh, the only other weird thing I was thinking of was prions.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And that has DNA, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But these don't. How can something... Number one, how can it be alive and have no DNA? But there it is. And number two, it doesn't divide like cells. It looks like cells, but doesn't do cell division. It gives birth.
Yeah, it makes me think there's more fundamental qualities to what makes life. And because, you know, that those red cells that it has, you know, are some kind of machinery, you know, some type of a concept. And something makes them animate, you know, and mm-hmm. do things just like something makes our DNA kick into action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, you know, from a more fundamental level, it sounds like there's much more to life than we've ever thought of before.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And I don't know. Let me ask your opinion now. Do you think these things are from Earth, or do you think they're extraterrestrial in origin?
Probably extraterrestrial, since we've never found anything like it to date that doesn't have DNA or that has such... opposite conditions that it thrives in to everything else. I mean, mm-hmm. I know some stuff like, you know, in the vents under the ocean can withstand that, but, you know, like you said, it still has DNA, so it sounds more likely to be extraterrestrial in nature than more likely yes than no.
It is weird stuff. It certainly is. All right, Rex, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, Ross in the United Kingdom has sent us a flash message. The telephone lines are open. And we would be delighted to hear from you. And we'll get to Ross's flash message in just a moment. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Two questions for you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
First one is personal. How's the tooth doing?
Better. Better. You know, I'm taking antibiotics. And this is how I know I'm not infected with one of these little red guys. Because the antibiotics are working.
Good. Now, I don't want any Nazi-style experiments being done, but have they tried any exposing under pressure and temperature? Have they tried exposing them to various gases to see what the effects are?
I don't think so. Nothing like that has been reported. It could be, but nothing like that has been published.
Okay, it's just my thoughts, because I wonder how they react to acid.
Now, that would be very curious, because Venus, they say, has sulfuric acid in the upper atmosphere. It never makes it down to the surface. But they say there's a lot of sulfuric acid in the upper atmosphere. So it would be interesting to see what would happen to these things if exposed to that. But what if you expose it to sulfuric acid and all of a sudden it's like pop goes the weasel and you've got all these little Venetian kids running around everywhere?
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want any Nazi-style experimentation, just intellectual exercises right now. If they're going to do it under controlled circumstances, so they don't create something they don't want.
Yeah, well, think of the dilemma for the scientist even knowing what to do to test it. If it has no DNA, you know, what do you do to it? They heated it up, and then they got it really, really cold. And so far, I think that's about all they've done to it.
Increased pressure.
Well, yeah, and they've increased the pressure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Yeah, you know, just thinking of tests to do to this stuff and to do it in a way that would be safe. Because since nothing about it conforms to what the scientists know about life. Nothing about this conforms to that set of knowledge. So how would you even test it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Snake Man Jeff, calling from Montreal. Good evening, Kevin.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Kevin?
Good.
Just a couple of comments. We do have some example of other things like this. I would say that Dick Cheney is a good example of this type of life form.
Okay.
He's been dead for a number of years and still manages to do great harm to the planet.
Well, let's steer away from the political. What do you think? Is this stuff, is it extraterrestrial or is it terrestrial in origin?
Here's a crazy thought. Maybe this is intelligent life, and it's so intelligent that it knows how to travel around the universe, and perhaps this intelligent life from other planets deposits its building blocks, its like a time capsule, if you will, on other planets, so as if to preserve or to protect itself, that if that planet perhaps fails or dies, that their building blocks are on other planets, that they continue on this cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a thought. And I was thinking, you know, isn't it tragic that human beings have an excellent example to do some great observation and some great science? This hasn't even been peer-reviewed yet, apparently. And all this talk about reverse technology and what we would do if a saucer crashed, and if a saucer did crash in Roswell, were we able, and could we be able to replicate that craft? Well, I'd like to see some scientists or biologists try and replicate this and reverse engineer this if they're so inclined to do so. And I'm just surprised that this hasn't gotten the scientific quote-unquote scrutiny.
Well, this has.
Underground, but...
This was published, to July the 4th, 2006, in the journal Astrophysics and Space Science. And it's been out there, and it's in the scientific literature, but nobody talks about it much.
That's right. There's been two scientists, I think, in England that took it on and haven't really... one said that there may be evidence of DNA, still looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one said there is no evidence of DNA, and tests remain inconclusive, I mean, why wouldn't scientists be all over this stuff? But yet it's just sitting on a shelf in buckets and mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems kind of... like anything that doesn't fit into, like you said, into their modality of logic, they immediately throw out. And that's like an ape or a monkey sitting in a lab. When he doesn't get his reward, he has a tantrum. And it's like scientists seem to have a tantrum. Whenever something doesn't fit into their box, they just throw it right out the window. And that would suggest to me to be the greatest form of ignorance ever. And... I always wonder what your thoughts were on that, but I think you already articulated them quite clearly at the beginning of the show.
I
want to thank you for taking my call, and perhaps there are building blocks and time capsules. I don't know.
Maybe. Thanks for the call. I have the greatest respect for science and for scientists. I really, really, honestly do. I have no respect for a guy that calls himself a scientist and then tosses information away, refuses to look at it, refuses to investigate it, because it doesn't fit his box. That's not a scientist. That's a fraud. Yeah, I know he's got a PhD, and I know he's wearing a lab coat, but he's a fraud. I got no respect for that guy. But someone that is a scientist that says, well, hey, you know, let's take a look at it. Let's see what we can find out here. And then just fairly reports what he found out, that's a scientist. I've got the greatest respect for science, for real science. I really, really do. And as I said, no respect whatsoever for the frauds. And believe me, there are tons of these frauds. And they're wearing the name Doctor This and Doctor That. And they got lab coats and they write books and they're on television, and people just highly respect them, but not me. I don't respect them at all. If you toss information without examining it thoroughly, you're not a scientist. You're a fraud. We'll be back right after this. The mics are coming up finally. Before we went to break, we were talking about these red cells. Not just a few of them, folks. Not just a few. Tons of this stuff. Tons of it. Fell for 3 months at Kerala, India. In the area around Kerala, India. Southern India. In fact, southwestern India. And I said we have a flash message from Ross, but that's not correct. The flash message is from Leonardo in Puerto Rico, and he says, very good show tonight. Life will find a way. And then a private message for me. You're right, Leonardo. Life will find a way. And you know, scientists have been telling us for a long, long time that they thoroughly think and believe that life happens. It just happened here on this planet. Okay, if that's the case, if life happens, then it's got to be happening everywhere. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, this is, I think the shows get more interesting every day. I don't know if you're getting, going from being a good host to an excellent host to the best host on the planet, but I thought the Asia one was incredible yesterday, and now this comes on, and I'm even more stumped than yesterday.
Well, thanks for the compliments. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking at a couple different things on the Internet just to check it out, and it looks like colored rain has been reported in, it looks like Kerala as early as 1896 and several times since then. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's the same substance that was causing the discoloration then?
Well, it could be, but we don't know that. It may be. But the only one we really know about is the one from 2001 because that's the one they took samples of.
If it was reported in 1896 and it happened to be the same substance, you got to wonder, with it able to thrive under such conditions, why we hadn't found more before. I mean, like, what happened to it? How did it dissipate? But I looked into it a little bit, and you were saying something about 550, 75 degrees or something like that?
Uh-huh.
I was looking at what else is about 575 degrees, and apparently the very, very top of the mantle between the crust and the mantle is about 600 degrees at the very, very tip of it once you hit the crust area. And I know at those kind of depths and things like that, you're going to have different pressures. So I think all in all, when you're looking at where it's going to thrive the most, it's going to be inside of the Earth, mm-hmm. Possibly. What do you think about that?
Well, it could be, but then you have to deal with the explanation of how did it get into the rain and fall down to the Earth? How did it get up?
I don't think it came from here. I mean, if you consider the planet like an island, islands have stuff washing up ashore all the time. I mean, sometimes you might get an island in the middle of nowhere where I don't know, maybe a tennis ball shows up behind, you know, after traveling for 20 years or something.
Well, you know, all the fantastic flowers and plants that cover Hawaii are the result of thousands of years of bird poop.
Yeah. Well, with the Earth being here as long as it has, I really question, first of all, what is it eating? You know, how is it taking in energy? And what's it producing? Because that's going to pretty much entail a lot of how it's going to affect us on the environment. They were saying that when it did rain, they noticed that some of the plant life kind of shriveled up a little bit on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they mentioned a couple other things that haven't really been brought up. Like, there was also some of them that were black and yellow and a tinge of blue. So it's almost like they've got, like, their own ethnicities within their own species.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to look like blood cells, and I just think it's absolutely miraculous. And I have to say, I think it definitely is from off of the planet. I guess my main question is, I wonder how many times it's been here before, and I guess we'll all find out more in the future.
Yeah, no DNA, but it's alive. That's weird.
Thank you for the call. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi. Now, you mentioned that this stuff come down was, it was raining all the time that this stuff was delivered, right?
Yeah.
So it would appear that it is using the rain as a delivery system to move itself. So with that thought in mind, if that is the case, then that might mean that it's terrestrial. Because, you know, what's a general, just to make it simple, water evaporates from the ocean, whatever, and goes up or makes the clouds and it comes down. So it's possible that, you know, I don't know how heavy this stuff is and if it would actually evaporate kind of with the water.
It's microscopic.
So then it could.
Well, it won't evaporate.
Well, but it will go up. It, as it's lighter than air if it's microscopic. Is that?
Well, it might. We don't know. It might rise with the water vapor as water evaporates into the atmosphere, maybe.
Right.
It might.
So if it did, mm-hmm. and because it is being delivered with water, it's making me think that maybe it is, and it's possible that it could be terrestrial coming from down in the ocean somewhere.
Do you think that it's possible for it to be terrestrial and have no DNA?
Yes.
Okay. So then for you, it would be something, the way you see it, is it's something that we just never discovered before, but comes from the Earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might be right. We don't know.
Well, look at all the life down at the bottom of the ocean that they say they haven't discovered, and, you know, there's life living down there in those temperatures, which is apparently this stuff is kind of like mimicking the stuff in the bottom of the ocean because it can take increased pressure, heat,
mm-hmm.
what have you.
Yeah, the primary difference is no DNA. That's the primary difference. And
but who is there to say that everything on this planet has to have DNA?
You know, you make a good point. That's a good point. Just because everything that we knew up till now, everything that we knew that was living has DNA, who's to say that everything has to? We don't. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
So it could be terrestrial. You're right.
I think so, because the reason it makes me think that is because it's carried about by the water,
mm-hmm.
the rain.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not from here, why would it need to use the rain to carry itself or distribute itself around the Earth?
Well, it wouldn't need to, but if it was falling in from out there, falling into our atmosphere, the first thing it's going to hit is clouds, and that is water.
Right.
And when enough of it hits the clouds, it will rain because it seeds the clouds. So when enough of them hit, the clouds are heavy, and it's going to rain.
And when this stuff fell on people's houses and on the ground,
mm-hmm.
was it able to accumulate to where they could see it?
Sure. Sure. You can see it. Are you watching the show tonight?
Yep.
Well, there's a picture on your screen right now of some of it in bottles.
Okay.
Some of it poured out onto a plate. You can see it. Ruined their clothes. Clothes were all turned red if they were out in it.
Yeah. It's possible also, someone saying something about, how about, was there any volcanic activity?
No.
Near that time?
No, not around Kerala.
Oh, it's not near a volcano. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. But I still would think that, you know, it's just as good as possibility that it's terrestrial because of the fact that, you know, there's just too much unknown life here that we don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. And, you know, all we can say for sure is we can say it's alive, we can say it has no DNA, and we can say that's weird stuff. That's all we can say for sure about it.
Did anyone try to, that you're aware of, try to make it reproduce?
No. No, all they did was heat it up, and when they heated it up, it started reproducing.
So their only thought was to kill it.
I don't know that that's, you know, they were just heating it up to see what would happen, I guess.
Huh.
And because until you do stuff to it, you don't know how it's going to react. So they heated it up. And apparently the stuff loved it, started reproducing. And this is another thing. It doesn't do cell division. It gives birth.
Well, then how did the thing form inside it? If it does not, if it wasn't through cell division, was it through, what was it through?
It was just like, it has a baby. It has a baby that develops inside it, and then it expels it. And when the baby's mature, it expels it. Okay? Now,
but is
an amoeba...
replica,
yeah,
of the parent?
Yeah. But the, for instance, all the other one-celled animals we know anything about will literally divide themselves into two separate cells.
Okay.
They don't give birth. But this stuff does.
Huh. That's, I don't know, I'd be interested to see, you know, if they could see, actually see when the change first starts taking place.
Yeah, what they see is a little white dot inside of one of these cells, and then it grows and it grows and grows. Then it turns red, then it gets expelled out through the cell membrane. But it happens inside. So it gets, you know, the cell gets pregnant somehow and then gives birth.
Well, I can just see someone getting a bright idea because these, whatever they are, whatever, I don't want to call them cells or not because they're not DNA, but that's the closest we got. If they're going to use this to combine with a human, animal, whatever.
Sure they will.
So that they cannot be killed in a similar manner.
Yeah, you bet they will. If there's anything Frankensteinish that can possibly be done, some area of science is going to do it. As long
Super
as
soldier.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right. Yeah, bye.
Rusty in Michigan. All right, good thoughts. Well, it could be. It very well could be terrestrial. And again, if you don't know, terrestrial, terra firma, is the name of this planet. In Latin. So it's another way, when you say terrestrial, it's another way of saying earthly. So this stuff very well could be earthly. It could be from here. I don't think it is. I could be wrong about this. I could be 100% wrong about this, but I just don't think this stuff is from here. It doesn't operate like anything else we know here, not in the least. I mean, it's not even similar to anything else we've got. So I think it's probably extraterrestrial. That means off Earth, off world. It didn't come from here. It's not from this neighborhood. That's what I think. Again, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Who knows? We'll be back for Final Approach right after this.